much. I just have to look at you for a minute before we get started or even pray, because I was wondering, like last week, who was going to stay home because icy and sleety and all of that. And I just prayed for you. I did. I was like, Lord, please let them come, stir their hearts. Just encourage them to know that you have a word for us. And so I am just thrilling looking at your faces and seeing who is here this morning. How was your discussion group? Was it good? Always good? Great. That is wonderful. Don't we appreciate these leaders and what they're doing? Would you just, they come early and we do love and appreciate you. As a matter of fact, The younger people's group was so big that they were blessed by dividing into two groups. If you're in the younger group, would you stand up? I just want to see. And the leaders, who are you? Look at y'all. Yay! Is that not wonderful? I mean, it's so exciting that these young people are coming, and when you see a group that does that, that they are just so excited about what God is teaching them and applying God's word to their life that they say, come join us. And so I congratulate you for doing that. Let's go to the Father now. Have this moment of time of asking Him to bless us and to anoint our minds to hear His word, because this is a very special time for us, ladies. Join me in prayer, please. Father, I am just so thrilled to come to you, to kneel before you, the great I am, the God eternal. Oh, Father, we are so humbled to be in your presence this morning. Father, we are just, my mind can't even get around the fact that you who set the stars in place and created the sun and the oceans and the whales and the tiny hummingbird, Father, now you are taking interest in those of us sitting here in this sanctuary this morning. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. And ladies, if you just praise him and thank him, would you just say amen?
Amen.
And so, Father, now we are here, and we are confessing that our hearts and our minds need renewing. We have testified that with our lips. And so, Lord, we ask for renewal this morning through your word. Do a work through the Holy Spirit and the power of your word in every single one of us. Root your truths and your principles. Make it practical. We pray this in the holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ladies, does it just humble your heart like it does mine when we truly think about the fact of whose presence we're in this morning? Does it just do something to your heart, seriously? I pray it does. I pray it does. I pray every Sunday when you start to go to church, or every Saturday night, or every Wednesday, or whenever your Bible study group is. I just pray that when you draw apart, that you're very mindful that you are going to a sanctuary. You are going to a set apart place. And you are determining that you want to hear a word from God. There is nothing you can do, whether it's in your early morning quiet time or your nighttime prayer time or whenever, but any time you pull your body away from the world and the normal activities, and you purpose to want to talk to your Heavenly Father or hear from Him, there is nothing finer you can do. That is the best investment of your time and your energy, your thought life, of anything you can ever do. I guarantee you, your investment of your time in this study will not go unrewarded. It will not go unrewarded. God sees you, and He is so thrilled to have each one of us here to be attentive to His teachings. This morning, as you look at our third session and we look at our topic today, we are looking at this potential for a landmine in a Plan A woman's world when she's living in a Plan B world, when she's a Plan A woman, but she's living in a Plan B world. And we've been discussing how there can be these different landmines when things don't go according to our plan of how we wanted them to go. There are potentials, ideas, thoughts that can settle down in our minds that can cause us to either feel hurt or can cause us to have a reaction to other people that we might want to blame or say, they're the reason that I'm in this situation. And so we might have this little landmine go off and it hurt other people. Today, we're looking at a landmine called elusive imaginations. Elusive imaginations. And we're addressing whether or not in my life as a believer, and you for you in your life, if you ever let your imagination run wild with thoughts that are not true. Does your mind ever run wild with thoughts that are not true? And does God have a word for that? Now, I'm seeing some of you snicker and laugh a little bit. How many of you would say, my imagination on occasion has run wild? And has your imagination ever run wild to the point that it created a little bit of a conflict or a problem? That can happen. And so today we want to look at this fact that we have a choice. And God wants us to know that we have a choice as women. Plan A women living in a Plan B world. He wants us to know, as we talked about last week, we have choices. And God wants us to exercise these choices that he has given us. We have the ability, instead of letting our minds run wild with these imaginations, we have the ability to choose to focus on what is real. What is the truth? What is reality? And that is what we want to focus on. Recently in the newspaper, I saw an article that had to do with a Marine that was able to step back, it says, from the jaws of death. Let me show you this article. Perhaps you saw it and maybe you didn't. But it says, Marine able to step back from the jaws of death. Did any of you see this article? It was so timely for you and me. I want to read just a tiny section of it to you. It says, about a half hour before sunrise, Lance Corporal, and I cannot even pronounce his last name, I'm going to say Q, the assistant patrol leader called softly to Matheson. He wanted to give him a thermal sight to scan the surrounding terrain. Matheson moved toward his friend. When he was a few feet away, the weight of his football depressed, something hidden in the dirt. There was a muffled pop, a sound resembling a man stomping on a bottle. A small explosion, like that of a firecracker, lifted his boot. Rocks peppered the two Marines. "Don't move," the first Marine said. Wary of stepping on another bomb, the patrol sat until light glowed in the eastern horizon, when other Marines unfolded a metal detector and swept around their friend. The detector signaled a large IED remained in the soil. The Marines radioed for a team that specializes in dismantling explosives and backed off the knoll. By the time the disposal team arrived, most of the Marines understood how lucky they'd been. They commented and said that would have killed both of those two Marines. Now, ladies, this is a physical example of what can happen when something lies buried. And even though it may not be the exact same thing for you and me, I think it's a very precious example of how those Marines, when they sensed something, they didn't keep going, did they? What did they do? They stopped. And I believe that's one of the very first clues that God wants for you and me, is when we see that our imaginations or our minds or our expectations, whatever, start to feel a little rumble and they start to go off a little bit. Stop. Would you just say the word stop?
Stop.
If you know from my book, Pray With Purpose, Live With Passion, do any of y'all remember what I teach in that? Stop, drop, and pray. That's right. Stop, drop, and pray. Just like if they teach children with fires to stop, drop, and roll. To stop, drop, and pray. But this is one of the best things that you and I can learn to do, is to stop. It's to stop when we sense something going on. And then there's something else in here that I think is very tender to my heart, and that is that he had people that surrounded him and checked for those metal detectors around him. Do you know, I think that's what you can do in your discussion groups. I think you can listen to each other. I think you can observe. I think you can help. I think you and I as Christian sisters can come along in a form of accountability and assistance and do that very same thing. We have some landmines that can hurt us. And so as we look at this one of our imagination, we're able to identify, yes, this could be a landmine, and God addresses it for us. Philippians 4:8, I'd like for you to read our Bible verse with us this morning, because it tells us how we can address landmines. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. We see the truth that the realities of God's truth keep me in His plan, and they guard me from dangerous imaginations. Now, our very first point that we look at this morning is that imagination is defined as the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present. It's not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. It's a creation of the mind. A creation of the mind, fanciful or empty assumption. Our second point we see is that the ability to imagine is God-given, isn't it? But like with any gift, our imagination can be used for God or it can be what? Abused. Our imagination can be used for God or it can be abused. Think of all the creative things that have been created in this world because somebody first imagined them. They thought that thing or that object or that idea or that principle in their mind. So imagination is a wonderful thing, but we need to guard against it because as you notice here, ladies, it says it is a mental image of something not present. It's not yet real. How many of you have ever, I want to read through some of these. How many of you have ever had this happen to you? An acquaintance doesn't acknowledge you and you imagine he or she slighted you. Rather than didn't see you. I mean, just kind of pop your hands up, okay? These are some pretty common imaginations. You imagine people at church are friendly to everyone but you. Have you ever felt that way? Seriously? Have you ever stopped going because you thought, well, they're just so cliquish or that group is so cliquish? After months of a bumpy marriage, you imagine your husband's late nights are because he's having an affair. I'm going to not make you keep raising your hands. Never mind. But you can follow along with me in your mind, okay? Although you have no proof, you become accusatory and cold. I have actually studied and read where sometimes this is almost a self-fulfilling prophecy where a woman will think that her husband is being unfaithful, and so she starts being cold and drawing back from him, which doesn't help the marriage any at all. And it's because it started with an imagination in her mind. It wasn't the truth. She just imagined that perhaps it was. We could keep going. I want to read some of these, some additional ones. Some people say, I just imagine that I can't stop this habit. Have you ever thought that? It's not proved. It's not proved at all that you can't stop that habit, but you just have imagined it in your mind. Have you ever imagined, I would never do that? Somebody just said, don't say that, because how many of you have ever said, I would never do that, and then you did it? See, we just have this thought. We just make it up in our minds that we would never do it, and then we do it. Have you ever just imagined, I don't have any friends? You know, I don't have any friends. We can just think all these things. Have you ever imagined, I can never be happy again? See, we can just have all of these different kinds of imaginations that they really aren't true, but we just decide them in our head. Our third point that we see is that imaginations, just as feelings, can go haywire, can't they? They can go haywire. They must be checked. Our imaginations, ladies, must be checked. They must be analyzed. They must be guarded. They must be tested. They must be approved by the Spirit and the mind of Christ. You and I, as Christians, we have a tool, a huge tool, that the unbeliever does not have. We have the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit to check our thoughts. Now, Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, I wrote it out there for you, and I want you to read it with me. The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test, that's the word, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the result of his deeds. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. That is a great verse for you to highlight in your Bible. God says this. God says, Debbie, I am going to test your mind. Is that what he says here? I am going to test your mind. Oh, I have failed so many times. But this is what the word of the Lord says. He says he is going to search our hearts and he is going to test our minds. Now, when God does this, he never tempts to evil. He never tempts us to evil, but he does allow us to be tested so that we can see where our own failings and weaknesses are, and so that he can also prove out his self-sufficiency in our lives. Not our self-sufficiency, his self-sufficiency. Our fourth point that we see is our thought life, as we have said every week, it affects our destiny, doesn't it? And anything not approved by God should not be approved by us. Would you just say that? Anything not approved by God should not be approved by us. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
In practice? Or in principle? In principle, I would say we would all agree with that. But in practice, our lives don't prove that out always, do they? So today, God wants us to get very, very practical. We see our fifth point, that these ungodly, vain imaginations that we sometimes have, they can hurt us and others. They are those thorns in our mind that we talked about last week. And what God is interested in is us being healthy. God is interested in us having a healthy thought life. Not one that has thorns, landmines of vain imaginations. And so we see this principle that we must yield to the mind and spirit of Christ rule over any elusive imaginations. Why? Read with me Romans 6:14. Why do we need to do this? Because it says, sin shall not be master over you. God wants to get us to the point to where we are not only agreeing in principle, he is wanting us to experience sin not mastering over us. We see Romans 6:4 that we are to walk in newness of life, aren't we? That is what God has called us to do, is walk in newness of life. And so we see, ladies, that what we want to do is we want to work it. Okay? Say it with me. We want to work it. And that's what we're going to do. Would you agree that this coming week that you will work it? That you will work on your imaginations and what pops into your mind. We see we can because the believer has Christ's spirit in mind. And we're empowered to do that. So let's look at some of these biblical warnings about the imaginations of our minds that the scripture specifically speaks to us about, because the scripture addresses different imaginations. This first figment of our imagination that we can have is that we're really not a part of the problem or the solution of something going on, and that we will be happier if we can just avoid dealing with that situation altogether. That doesn't have anything to do with me. And we see this modeled in Esther's life. So I want us to look at the book of Esther and pick up on a few things from Esther, because she is such a great model, a wonderful godly woman for us to observe and look at. But we can also learn some things from her. So turn quickly to Esther. It's right before Job's. If you've got your Bible with you, if you'd pull it out. I want to highlight some different features for you. You know the story of Esther. Esther was the orphaned girl who was raised by her cousin. When King Ahasuerus didn't like the way that his first queen responded to him, he decided to just put her aside, and they gathered up all the beautiful virgins for him to pick which one he would like to install as his next queen. Esther happened to be one of those young, beautiful virgins that was picked up. And throughout the scriptures, we find that the words are used describing her as one who found favor. She found favor with God. She found favor with the eunuch who was overseeing her. She was one who kept finding favor. So we see that this was a young girl who had a lot of quality. She was reverent. She was kind. We are given so much of her personality as we read her story. However, we read in Esther chapter 4 that the Jews had an enemy, as they always have throughout all civilization. And one of them in particular made a deal with King Ahasuerus to destroy the Jews. And he offered to put a nice sum of money in the king's treasury, but he wanted to have the Jews destroyed. So when we pick up in Esther 4, we find that Mordecai, her cousin who had raised her, he had learned all that had been done. And read with me in verse 1. It says that he tore his clothes. He put on sackcloth and ashes. He went out into the midst of the city, and he wailed loudly and bitterly. This is the way that mourning was expressed. It wasn't sitting at home and sending out a million emails, oh, this horrible thing is going on politically. I mean, you would go out in the town square, tear your clothes, and be expressive literally with the wailing that you were doing instead of explanation points and please forward. It says in verse 2 that he went as far as the king's gate, for no one was able to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. Verse 3, in each and every province where the command and decree of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews. Great mourning, great wailing. We keep seeing these words. Look, with fasting, weeping, wailing, and many lay on sackcloth and ashes. It would be if we just said the terrorists are going to bomb our city within the next 3 hours. We would be on our faces in the ground, wouldn't we? Praying and begging and beseeching the Lord. They have just told they're going to be destroyed. And they are wailing, and they are mourning, and they are weeping. Then Esther's maidens and her eunuchs came and told her, and the queen writhed in great anguish. Now this has gone all the way up to her beautiful little quarters in the palace, and she is writhing in great anguish. I mean, she is just beside herself. She hears what's going on. And it says then that the next verse, the next sentence says in verse 4, she sent garments to clothe Mordecai that he might remove his sackcloth from him, but he did not accept them. Here is what I want you to focus on. We've got a situation going on in the nation where people are mourning. They are on sackcloth. They are wailing. They are screaming. It is a serious problem. And what does Esther do in response? What does she imagine will fix the problem? Clothes. She does. Look at this. She has even been in great anguish. Now, where is this woman's mind? Seriously, I've read this and studied this so often, but this week, this just hit home with me like never before, because I thought, is this not what we do? We have a child come home that's painting their fingernails black, that's wearing all black, that's not speaking, that walks in and goes straight to their room, that's wearing cult clothes. And we think if we could just get them to change their clothes and the color of their fingernail polish, right? That's what we imagine. Wrong. Wrong. We just think if we can get that husband to do A, B, and C, then that will fix our marriage, right? We just imagine that if we could move, we just imagine if we could get a better job, we just imagine if our health was better, we just imagine, and we try to take care of this external thing. And ladies, I just think God is saying, your imagination is just up here. It's just touching the outside of critical issues that I need you and you and you to address in your home, with your child, with your husband, in our nation, in our churches. And we're just wanting to put Band-Aids and make people cut their hair or wear something different. She literally sends him clothes. Mordecai was smart. He didn't accept them. And in verse 5, Esther summoned the king's eunuchs and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was and why it was. Now we've got a smart woman. Now we've got a woman who's looking for the truth. She's saying, look at that verse again. She wants now information on what and why. May I encourage you, with any problems you have going on, anything you don't like in your life, maybe today God is saying to you, instead of you just responding like the way you have been responding, whether it's over your finances, your health, your marriage, your children, whatever it may be, instead of you just responding the way you've been responding because it hasn't been working, why don't you take your brain and put it before the Lord and say, I've kind of been imagining that if I did this, this, and this, then my husband would pay more attention to me. Wrong. What I need you to do is this, this, and this. I just thought if I did this with my child, then they would start behaving more. Wrong. It's not been working, has it? Step back and let God speak to your mind about what you need to do. You have a direct line to the counselor, to the mighty God. I think he is begging us, I think he is beseeching us to start dialing in to him seriously, to start getting information. I promise you, he will give you insights. He will give you perspective. Your brain is so smart and so capable of receiving information and your spirit from God. And last week, you've noticed I kept putting on our exercise where we were practicing the synergy of both parts of our brain, and we were reading and we were writing it and we were saying it, is that it, I kept saying, not only believe it and personalize it, but pray in the what? Holy Spirit, because that's what the scripture tells us to do. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray with your mind, but also pray in the Spirit. Ladies, you have so many choices and access to so much more power than you and I are tapping into. And this course is all about God's invitation to you to tap into the resources that he gives you and me instead of us just thinking, well, I imagine this should work and I don't know why it's not. She went and she found out why and what. I want us to go ahead and look on over at verse 11. Because Esther replies. Basically, Mordecai says, you need to go into your husband and beg for the salvation of the Jews. And this is Esther's response. Esther spoke to Hathath and ordered him to reply to Mordecai. And things have gotten a little tense here because Mordecai, her cousin, has... The word used in this passage, it says he ordered her to go into the king. It isn't he asked her. It says he ordered her. If you look at verse 10, it says Esther spoke to Hathath and ordered him to reply to Mordecai. We have some tense feelings and situations going on here. And all the king's servants and all the king's province know. This is what Esther tells the eunuch to tell to Mordecai. Know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out the scepter to him, the golden scepter, so that he may live. I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. Where is Esther's imagination taking her? That she goes into the king's presence. He doesn't extend the scepter, and she is put to death. That is where Esther's imagination has taken her. The worst case scenario. Has your imagination ever taken you to the worst case scenario? God's extending the royal scepter, inviting you and me to come into his presence anytime to check our imaginations. This is what happened to our dear Esther, who we admire so much. Her imagination took her to the worst case scenario, that her husband would not accept her and that she would die. There may be somebody in here in this room today, and you may be in a very similar situation, and you may be having serious marital problems, and you may be feeling like, if my husband doesn't accept me for who I am, our marriage is going to die. I'm going to die. Go to your Father. Go to your Heavenly Father. You may be living in plan B, but He's got a plan B with a cross. He's got a rope. He's got a scepter. He's got a word for you. And I think God can give you, through your creative mind and His Holy Spirit, some tip and some helps. We cannot control what another person does, can we? But we can control what we do, and that's what this course is about. Rule over your own emotions. Rule over your own thought life. Rule over your own imaginations. Instead of us trying to rule over all these other people, let's try to just rule over our own selves for a change, right? We see that Mordecai confronted Esther in verse 13. And Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine. Do not imagine. Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews." Esther had somehow imagined that she didn't have to be part of the problem or the solution because she was a queen in the king's palace. She somehow forgot that she was a Jew. And Mordecai brings her back to reality. Oh, ladies, God's words bring us back to reality all the time. All the time. That's why the more you're in it, the more you will be spared. And he said, "Do not imagine anymore." And I want you to notice now that we have some things that are going to happen. Esther, instead of just being off on this imagination, vain imagination, she's just making up something in her mind that's not there. She's making up, number one, that if she goes into the king's presence, he's going to kill her. She already sees herself being taken out in the coffin. Second, she imagines that if she just remains quiet, she won't get killed by the other people. I mean, she's going bizarre, imagining that she's going to get killed because her husband won't extend the scepter, but the reality is she's going to get killed if she doesn't do anything. Her imagination is off. She's a nice woman. She's a good woman, but her imagination is off. But now we start noticing that she brings her mind into it. She deals with her emotions. She deals with her will and with her spirit. And that's what we need to do, is engage the whole person here. And that's what she did. He said, "Do not imagine." Just do not think with your mind only that you can escape. He's dealing with her emotions any more than all the Jews. "If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place, and you and your house, father's house, will perish." Who knows? And he brings in the spiritual part here. Who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this? Now, ladies, this sweet lady, Jan, some of you may know her and some of you may not know her, who's in a wheelchair. She had polio when she was little, went about 30 years without it, I guess you told me, somewhere around that. About 39, it struck her again. We were visiting before class started, and I've always admired Jan, because she comes in to Bible study every week with a smile on her face. And she said, "This course has been so good." And I said, "Why? What?" And she said, "Well, I'm definitely, my whole life, have lived my plan B, or C, or D, or E." And then she said, "Jen, I should have written it down." But then she said, "But I see that God has used this for His good and others." Oh, ladies, I have to tell you, you put me next to that woman, I'm the most selfish woman in the whole world. Could any of you say that too? She is not, she is in a wheelchair and she's saying, "But you know what? God is using it for His good." You may have the tackiest, most rebellious, obnoxious child. You were thinking I was going to say husband, weren't you? But does God want you in His life for good, in her life for good, with that employer for good? And the interesting thing is, is that when we submit ourselves and we reel in those imaginations and we deal with truth and we deal with reality and we do what God has called us to do in the Plan B world that we're living in, or D or F or Z, then we truly experience a peace, a blessing, a fulfillment. Jen is over there nodding her head. And so we see that this is so true, and we find out what Esther did. Esther did not die. Her husband did extend the royal scepter, and God did use her to save a people. And so we see, as we look at this, this first warning about our imaginations, we recognize our sixth point is that emotionally driven imaginations must be checked with the truth. You must engage in the warfare, engage in getting the landmine out, engage your mind, your will, and the Holy Spirit. If you say, I can't bring up this topic to my husband, is that true or is that your imagination? You might say, my daughter would overreact. Really? Or is that your imagination? You might say, well, my son would get mad if I said this, this, this. Is that right? Is that what God has told you? Or is that your imagination? Would you ever say, my ex-friend wouldn't listen to me if I tried to talk to her? Too much water under the bridge. We used to be close, but something happened, and we'll never be friends again. Really? Really? Or is that your imagination? I can never trust another pastor or priest after knowing of the abuse that's gone on. Really? You could never. Is that your imagination working overtime? Did you love the two women's stories that you read about this week? Joanne is a good friend of mine. We were little dancing bunnies when we were like 4 years old, you know, little Miss Peggy Ann's tap class, and then little bunnies with the little tails. And I mean, we go way back. We were college roommates. And I love this woman, Joanne, so much because she's single. You read her story. She's been divorced for 20 years, I think she recounted in our study. But didn't you like it when she gave you some practical advice, like get over it, ditch the fantasy, and gave some very practical points of how God had showed her that he wants her to be a vessel of honor, useful for every good works. We see that we really can rein in our imaginations when it deals with different things going on in our lives. And we see how critical it is for us to do this. There's another figment of our imagination that we look at in the scripture, and that's in Jeremiah 23:16. Would you read it with me? I've printed it on your listening guide for you. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imaginations. Jeremiah 23:16. Ladies, I beg you, before you pick up that book that you've heard is just the newest, best spiritual book, a meditation on conversations with God, on whatever it is, be a mature, responsible grown-up and check it out carefully against the word of the Lord. One of the hot books right now is Neil Walsh's Conversations with God. It is full of heresy. It is full of things that are not truth. And I found it very interesting because a couple of years ago, let me see what year it was, actually. Do any of you remember doing this study in 2001 with me? Wisdom with a Word. And I wrote this study for our class when I came back from a trip where the captain of this boat was reading Conversations with God, Neil Walsh. Well, now there are study groups all over the United States and beyond. And it is full of heresy. It is full of lies. It is full of not truth. And tons of people, including church people, are just gravitating to it in little women's groups. And now it's gone down to teenagers, I believe, because they're not sharp to the word of the Spirit, to the word of the Lord. They don't know. For instance, I took some of the these imaginings of men and prophets and people that say things. For instance, fearing God paralyzes people in their relationship with God. People who do not fear Him are the ones who will know Him. Well, ladies, the truth of the matter is, Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Here's the concept of God. If God is in me and I'm in God, then I'm God. Oh, yes, there are a lot of people that are buying into that vain imagination. The truth is, Isaiah 44:6 says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. There is no God besides me. That is the truth, to put against that vain imagination. You can just keep going through this and picking up any of these different comments. There's one on sin that I quoted for you. This one on forgiveness. This is just, this makes me so sad, all of these vain imaginations. This one on guilt. Here, a vain imagination of a current day prophet that people are listening to. There is no such thing as wrong. Guilt is a feeling that keeps you from being who you are meant to be. Never feel guilty. The Bible teaches there is such a thing as wrong. It is called sin. Guilt accompanies sin. Ladies, guilt is that internal monitor that lets us know when something's going wrong. Now, yes, if you've been raised in an abusive home or in some extreme cases, you may have a disproportionate amount of guilt that needs to be dealt with. But guilt is something that can be a useful tool. So we have to watch out for these vain imaginations that we sometimes see come about through just some person that decides to write or speak or whatever, and they're charismatic and people just follow them. Do not be gullible. When your friend says, oh, I've got the best book, you've got to read it, say, oh, thank you, I would love to look at it. And then look at it against the word of the Lord. Be wise. Engage your mind. Our third figment of our imagination is that we can serve God in money. In Luke 16:13, the scripture says, a rich man's wealth is a strong city and like a high wall in his own imagination. You know, ladies, money is not the answer, is it? We think money is the answer, and then we'll just be more happily married, or we'll be able to take care of those children better, or you fill in the blank. But sometimes the wealthiest people are the ones who have the most problems and are the least happy, because they're depending on their wealth instead of on the Lord. And Jesus said very clearly, you cannot serve. No servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. This word imagination in Luke 16:13 means a showpiece, a figure, an image, an idol. It's conceit is what it is. Now, as we look at this, I want us to look at, finally, how we can look at some biblical checkpoints very quickly for our imaginations. Very quickly. Our ninth point that we see is that Philippians 4:8 is the believer's sin detector. Philippians 4:8 is the believer's sin detector. We have said this over and over and over, that a believer has Christ's spirit and mind. We have it through the scriptures. We have it through the Holy Spirit, by which we're empowered to rule over our imaginations. I want each of you to think right now of some thought, some imagination that has recently come to you. It may be, I can never finish the study. It might be, I can never get my finances right. It may be, I can never love my husband again. It could be, I can never get control of this child. You just think of whatever your imagination, I can never be happy again. You think of whatever your imagine may have ever been, and we are going to look at a very practical way that we can do a checkpoint for our imaginations. Now, as you look here, we see what Philippians 4:8 says, and I have it up here on the board for us. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is, and I want you to read these words with me, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is any virtue, is another word for excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, what are we supposed to do?
Think on these things.
Would you repeat this word for me again? Okay, would you repeat that one word for me again? I want to read to you a quote that I got. I was looking at a R.C. Sproul, one of his comments, and he referred to Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And he said that he one diagnosed the problem of the modern world by saying that men have forgotten God. But R.C. Sproul went on to say, the problem goes even deeper. Men have also forgotten how to think. We've forgotten how to think. This is a dangerous situation. Because if we cannot think rightly, we have no defense against corrupt politicians, false prophets, biased newsmen, and others who try to sway us. There's another warning here that I would add to it. If you and I don't think rightly, we can't stand against the schemes of the evil one and temptation, can we? If we do not think rightly. So let's just take some of our imaginations. And let's put them right here. Ladies, last week I used my strainer to show you how... Do you remember my strainer? And what am I supposed to do with this thing? I am supposed to check any thought that comes to my mind, aren't I? Any imagination, anything that comes through. Now, if I don't, I'm going to end up with a landmine in my brain, aren't I? I'm going to end up with a landmine because Satan's going to send these little fiery arrows and thoughts, and or my little personality is going to dream them up, and they're just going to go right through here, right through these little cracks that I have in my brain, and if I don't put up my defense. And so I'm going to end up with a landmine right here. Okay? And so what we want to do instead is this thought comes at me, and I want us to take, for example, what went on with Mary, because Mary shared in her story about how she got involved with another man. Did you remember reading Mary's story? Let me see if I can find Mary's story and some of the things that went on in her mind. Let's look at this for just a minute and let's think about this, because God wants to replace these imaginations that you have, that I have, and he wants us to say, you know what? Let's just see if this is true. Let's see if this works. Okay, let's play like this is Mary, okay? And here she shared very honestly, and I know Mary, and she is a dear, devout woman of God. And would some of you just say, well, I just didn't think dear, devout women of God had affairs. How many of you would say, well, I just didn't think devout women of God had affairs? Well, you know what? Christians can fall, can't they? Christians can fall. And you may just say, well, I didn't know a Christian woman could have thoughts about another man. Well, it happens. Okay, so here was her first thought that her imagination said to her, your husband doesn't understand you. And her imagination said, someone understands me. Now, is that a true thought? What if she had taken that thought and put it right up here against this? Is that a true thought that her husband doesn't understand her? Could be. It could be true that her husband doesn't understand her, right? But let's go one step further. Is it honorable? Is it honorable for her to go with another man who she thinks does understand her? Is it honorable? No, it is not honorable. Is it right? No, it is not right. So that should have just ripped this thing out of her mind right there. She shouldn't have even let it in. Let's go to the next one. Her imagination rang out, he wants me. I'll rescue him. Is that a pure thought when she's married? No. Is it an honorable thought? No. We would make a good team. It's what this man said to her. We would make a great team. Hubba hubba. And her imagination said, I'm needed. You know, we are just so gullible, aren't we? But what if she had carried those words, we would make a good team, and her imagination saying, I'm needed. What if she took them and said, Lord, is this really true? Is this really right? Is this really honorable? What would have happened to this imagination? It wouldn't have penetrated. It may have gotten a little bit far. It may have gotten about this far in her imagination. Oh, I'm so excited I'm needed. And you know, our emotions can really go off on some things that people tell us, can't they? Either good or bad, make us mad or make us happy or make us feel warm and fuzzy all inside. So, you know, these things can get in there like little worms. But you know, when you see a little worm, it could be a child of Satan, you need to snatch it out of there. You need to snatch it out of there and say, no, 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 no. He said, let's meet at 10:30. Her little heart's patting by now. And she said, I imagined excitement and adventure. Okay? Will that be of good repute? Would it be true? Would it be honorable? You may be sitting there saying, boy, I wish my husband, I wish my son, I wish my nephew, I wish my boss, I wish my whatever. But ladies, that's what Satan does. Satan fires these little fiery flashes and arrows at us. And for you, it may not have ever been temptation with another man, like Mary shared. For you, you may not be able to imagine being a single woman and sitting in church and Satan just making you feel bad because you don't have somebody to sit with in church and your imagination going off thinking about another man. For you, you may not know what it's like to wish that your child and to imagine that your child was like that child that's up on stage getting the awards. But can't we all relate on some way that our imaginations have not served us well? They have caused us to either feel depressed or angry or bitter or resentful, or maybe, as our sweet friend Mary did, go off and do something that she knew she shouldn't do. And so we see that these imaginations are like landmines, but that we have a, would you say it with me, choice. You and I have a choice what we do with these landmines. Every single thing that comes at us, ladies, we need to take to God. Think. Just say the word think.
Think.
Just say to yourself, I'm going to think. Let's say it out loud. I'm going to think. I'm going to think. We see the truth, the reality is the checkpoint for these landmines of vain imaginations. God has bought us with Christ's blood, ladies. He has set you and me apart. We are royalty, just like Esther was. Did you know that? 1 Peter 2:9. Look at that verse. I want you to know that with all your heart, because Esther wanted to just let her mind go, and she wanted Mordecai to put on some different clothes, and she wanted to bury her head in the sand, and she didn't want to deal with the situation. But 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen race. If you're a Christian, this is written to believers. You are a royal priesthood. You're royalty. You're just like Esther. He wants to use you. He wants to take your mind. He wants to take your thoughts. And so I ask you, will you live out loud your faith regarding your imaginations? Will you clear your mind of landmines, of false imaginings? Don't let your mind go there and make up something that is not, in fact, proven to be true. You don't know that your friend won't forgive you. You don't know that you can't restore your marriage. You don't know that they're snubbing you. You don't know that they had a party and you're the only one they didn't invite. I mean, really, just stop. Stop that. Submit your emotional imaginations to the Holy Spirit and truth. Go to a person and talk to them and say, I've been thinking this. Have I been thinking wrong? Love out loud. Love out loud. Submit to Christ and the Spirit. Diffuse imagination landmines that can hurt you and others. Laugh out loud. Psalm 126, 1 and 2 says, when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled like with laughter, our tongue with joyful shouting. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Ladies, when you allow through the scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit to be set free of false imaginations, your mouth will be filled with laughter. You will not be bound by those imaginations. You'll be able to experience joy and freedom in the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Father, it is very easy for us to use our imaginations to go somewhere where you never intended them to go. Father, please help us not try to put band-aids on relationships or even ignore them because we imagine they can't be worked out. Instead, Lord, help us take every thought captive to you and to whether it's true, whether it's honorable, and whether it's right, whether it's pure, whether it's lovely, if it's of good repute, if there's some virtue, if there's some excellence in it, Lord, then you want us to put our thoughts there. But if it's not, Lord, if it's just some imagination that's wrong, then, Lord, you do not want it. It does not have a place in our brain. It does not have a place in our mind. For you are conforming our mind to the mind of Christ. I pray your blessings on these women and my friends this week. I pray you help them work it. Work it in. Work it out, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You work it, okay? Work it, work it.